Hey fam, this is an interview recording that I took on May 11th, 2024. The man telling the story is currently 72 years old. I can't remember. He told me to refer to him simply as Uncle Jim. If you're from around where I live and you do know him, don't go spreading rumors, please. Because this is one of the reasons why he never really told anybody about his interesting encounter. Please don't make a big deal about it if you know who it is. I've actually known him for like years since I was little. Not like well, but I did know him. He always gave me red vines. It wasn't until my mom put my Bigfoot survey on her Facebook page so I can get some more participants for my English class assignment is when he took my survey and consented to a delightful little coffee, or in my case, tea, chat. If you want to take that survey, I'm not using the results for my English class anymore, but I'll link it in the description if you want it. Okay, so some of the details in this story strikingly coincide with other stories. His encounter happened in Humboldt County near Bluff Creek, which is the exact same location that the Patterson-Gimlin video was filmed in 1967, I think. I didn't know it was filmed there until after the interview, after I was doing some extra research, and I'm like, wait, what? This is crazy. In fact, this is actually where the name Bigfoot originally came from. I don't think Uncle Jim knew this either. At least, he didn't really seem familiar with the mainstream Bigfoot community. Anyway, we were in a coffee shop again, so there isn't really much I could do about the terrible audio quality, so you're gonna have to suck it up if you wanna hear the story.
Okay. So, I was actually wondering why you said you've only shared this with your wife, your mom, and your dad.
Because it's a very controversial subject,
yeah.
And people either believe or don't believe, and there are more non-believers, and they look at you like you're crazy.
Well, especially according to the statistics I just got, like, more than half is no way. Like, it's just a joke.
It's not a joke, in my mind.
Yeah.
My story's really simple. I've been a hunter all my life. I wanted to go bear hunting, so I went over to Humboldt County.
How far away is that from here?
A couple hours.
Okay.
Three hours. And I went over, it would have been fall of 77, fall of 78, and all I was doing was scouting. Just me and my pickup truck driving around. Mm-hmm. Driving a bunch of small little towns over there. And I went through this little town and I spotted a dirt road, and it was coming on evening time. And out of the corner of my eye in the rear view mirror, I saw something big and furry cross the road. And of course, I'm looking for bears because I'm going to go bear hunting. I thought, oh, cool, there's a bear. So I pulled
up.
Were
you trying to like hunt bears or just like?
I was trying to find the area that they inhabited so that I could come back later in the year during season and hunt, because I was going to go deer hunting / bear hunting at the same time. And when I went back where I thought it had crossed the road, I couldn't find any tracks. And so my mind is saying, okay, well, you know it crossed here. It was like a track on the side of the road that was just a smudge, where like maybe pushed off. And then the next track is way out in the middle of the road, and then there are no more.
So like how many feet do you think that would be?
Oh, I would say, it's been forever. 4 foot, 5 foot span. I mean, it was a big leap.
How many is like usually for like a bear? Like how many feet till the next footprint?
Bears are like 18 inches, you know.
Yeah.
They got small, and the way they walk, you can see. And this one was funny because I could only find one smudge, and that was it.
Yeah.
So I decided. There was a creek nearby. I think it was Bluff Creek, maybe. I think Buff or Bluff, Bluff Creek. And I thought, well, everybody needs to drink water. So I parked the truck and I just started walking through the woods. And it's getting darker and darker. And that was okay because I was going to camp out in the truck anyway. I didn't care. At that stage in life, I was young and dumb.
How old were you?
Early 20s, 23, 4, something in that ballpark. And so it was not a big deal for me to just roll out sleeping bag and sleep on the ground. No,
yeah,
no
that
harm,
sounds
no
like
problem.
A lot of boys I know.
Yeah. So I got out and I started walking along the creek bed looking for signs where somebody had stopped to drink. And I heard something big crash through the brush. I didn't see it, but I heard it. And I knew it wasn't a deer. I've been deer hunting all my life. I said, well, that must be the bear that I saw across the road. So I looked and looked and looked, and I couldn't find anything. And then I found this, for lack of a better word, a shelter. Branches that were stacked weirdly. It wasn't like Mother Nature had shed the branch off of a tree.
So you know something intelligent made that.
Somehow it came to exist. And at that point in time, I wasn't really thinking. I just went, wow, this is cool. This is a nice little shelter. I just put the bag in here. And for whatever reason, I didn't. I had one of those sleeping bags stuffed in a bag.
Yeah.
And so I made my way back to the truck, and it is now real close to not enough light to be out walking in the forest with.
Yeah.
And I heard this scream, and that's the only... Almost like a woman's scream, high-pitched and shrill.
Yeah.
I know coyotes and foxes and bobcats. I know the noises they make. I know the noises most birds make. And this one made the hair on the back of my neck stand up, because my initial thought was, oh my God, some poor woman is in trouble. One scream is all it was. And I never heard anything else. Never heard anything else. So I built myself a small little fire and cooked my Demi Moore stew.
Did you try to find where the sound came from?
No, it was too dark for me to just go wandering through the woods. And at that point, I didn't have a gun with me because there were no open seasons. And I wasn't smart enough to think about having one for protection. It didn't register because, well, again, I was kind of young and not real bright, just wandering through new forests. The forests were beautiful, huge, big, tall trees. And so I was very comfortable and at peace. And then I heard that scream. Shocked it up to I don't know what. And ate my Demi Moore stew, had a beer, rolled up in my bag and called in the night. Somewhere, early-ish morning, but well before light, I heard a whistle. Now, my brother and I and my dad and I, when we'd go hunting, you don't holler out, hey, where are you? You whistle. And I heard this whistle. And I was in that state of, I'm not awake, but I'm not asleep. I'm just kind of laying there.
Yeah.
And I hear this whistle. Okay, this is a new area. It's a bird. And then about 5 minutes later, from an entirely different location, I heard another whistle. And I thought, well, I'm not the only hunter out here. And that's what I jocked it up to, hunting. I got to put my stuff back in the truck and start walking around again. Well, maybe I'll bump into these hunters, and they can give me some clues or ideas. I'm walking up and down the creek bed, and I'm not seeing anything. And that kind of surprised me. No bird tracks, no rabbits, no deer. And this was a good stream. So at that point, I chalked it up to, well, there must be water elsewhere that they're going to get the water from.
Did you see the animals there the day before?
I saw a couple of deer. I did see some quail, but not like I would have expected. And I just chalked it up to time of the year. They're not migrating yet to feed. It's not too hot, it's not too cold. So I just chalked it up to, you're in this giant forest with these beautiful giant trees, and there's lots of room and places for them to go and hide. And you're in one little small tiny part of it, and which is the reason I was up there. Mm-hmm. I was trying to find an area where there was a lot of congregation of game.
Oh, you caught it already.
Oh,
okay. I was like,
here. So later on through the day, I just kept working my way through the forest, and I saw what I kind of thought were claw marks on a tree from a bear. And as I'm standing there looking at them, I realized I'm a little over 6 foot tall.
Oh.
And these claw marks are a lot higher than that.
Like above your head?
Oh, well above my head. 8 foot into the tree, maybe. I mean, I just remember, and I went, well, and so in my mind, I said, well, obviously the animal was climbing up the tree, and it slipped there, and that's why you see the mark. I was able to, in my mind, justify everything that I was seeing and feeling and hearing, except that scream. That scream, it was, like I said, it was a woman's high-pitched fear scream. And I could never figure that one out. But I didn't pay any more attention. I kept wandering around and wandering around.
Did the claw marks, did it like look like how, I'm not really sure like how the claw marks usually would look on a tree? What does that usually look like?
When a bear claws a tree, mm-hmm. it literally just goes, it scrapes it, just like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
And that's what this was. This was nails on a chalkboard, 8 foot up into a tree.
And is it like three or like four claws?
No, I think there was... My mind says there were four lines. And I'm trying to, I mean, shoot, that's, we're talking 60 years ago. No, 50 years ago. But my mind says it was four lines on the tree because I chalked it up to, oh, they were climbing and slipped, and that's why it left the mark.
Was that, did you see that before? Like the night before?
No, I saw that the next day when I was cruising through the forest. I had moved away from the creek.
Oh, so this was like a new location.
Right. I'd moved from the creek, and I was working my way around the meadow up into the higher elevation, saying, well, if they're not down here, then I'll work further up.
Yeah.
And didn't see much. Today was really kind of uneventful until about early evening when I decided to sit on this knob where I could look down into a valley, down along the creek, and so I had quite a view. And sitting there, and I heard it wasn't a branch snapping, but I heard wood on wood.
Yeah.
Like it stepped on and it bounced over and hit it or something. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, finally, I figured it out. I'm close now. I'm close.
Were you scared of bears? And you didn't have a gun.
No, I wasn't afraid. Again, I was young and dumb, but I operated under the philosophy that I could scream, I could yell, I could make myself look big.
Oh, because you were tall and you were big.
I was tall, and I figured, you know, they're going to be as scared of me as I am up now. And
that's so dangerous.
You know, if you do nothing and you got deer in your front yard, they'll let you stand there and look at them. And they'll move towards you a little bit, but then they don't. But the second you start moving around and getting all animated, they bolt.
Yeah.
And that was my thinking with if I did stumble on a bear. And I figured I'd see them far enough away. And then this rock came flying down the hill.
From like above you? Or?
Above me.
So you think someone just threw something at you?
Huh?
So it felt like someone just threw something at you almost.
Oh no, so I was very clear somebody threw something at me. And I went, okay, this, what is going on, what is going on? And I figured, I went back to the night before, thinking about those whistles, and I thought, well, it's those guys that were up here hunting.
That's so mean though. How big was the rock?
Oh, it's a good sized rock. It was a fist sized rock.
Oh.
So
you would have died.
Oh, think softball.
Rock. Okay.
And it came, and it was hooked at me. I mean, it was hooked. And I went, okay, so maybe I'm hunting in somebody else's territory. Maybe I'm. I sat there and I didn't move. I just sat there and I didn't move. I said, well, I got my back against a tree. They obviously know where I'm at because they chucked the rock at me. And then I went, well, maybe they don't know where I'm at. And maybe they're throwing rocks to try and, if there's any game out there, to scoop the game into moving to see them. And so that's how I justified it in my mind. Because at that point in time, I wasn't thinking about anything other than people playing games and tricks.
Did you believe in Bigfoot at this time?
I didn't really have any knowledge or information at all.
Oh, so it wasn't like a cultural thing yet?
No.
Because I thought, do you know what year the Patterson-Gimlin film came out? Do you know what that is?
Is that the one?
That's the one where it's like...
I've seen it.
Okay.
No, I wasn't thinking that way because I never thought that way. And I'd grown up in the forest and with my dad hunting since I was 5, so, you know, I had a good 20 years in the forest. I wasn't afraid. But never talked about that kind of stuff. And so I sat there and I just figured, well, I'm in somebody's hunting area.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they're just trying to give me the real easer. So I sat there and I sat there and I sat there. Just about the time my heart stopped racing, boom, here comes another rock, and then another rock.
Wait, so like 3 now at this point?
There were 3 rocks.
Oh, no.
And I figured out at that point, whoever it is, and that's how my mind was working, whoever it is not trying to show themselves, but very clearly saying, get the hell out of here. And then I thought, well, you know, I'm in the forest and it's that time of year. Maybe somebody's growing something up here they shouldn't be and they're just trying to scare me off. And I got up very slowly and I just walked straight away from the tree, keeping the tree so that whatever was behind me. And I must have walked maybe 150 yards down the hill, and I was getting into the meadow, and I heard whistle. Is that
same whistle?
Same whistle. And then I heard whistle. I got two whistles, and I'm in the middle of them. So I heard it, I recognized it, I identified it as to where I thought they were, and I promptly proceeded to get along the edge of the meadow and work my way back down, and work my way back down to that creek. And
did you have all your stuff in your backpack, or what, did you leave it at the creek?
No, I left it at the, I'd left everything. When I started walking in the forest, I left it. I just stashed it because I knew I'd come back that way. So I had nothing on but just a clothes, camo jacket, and just hunting boots and no protection. And back then, when you're young and dumb, you don't think about it. In retrospect, that was about as dumb as could be. I had no water.
No pocket knife?
No. Ugh. I left my canteen. I left my knife.
No.
I left everything stashed there because I didn't want the weight, and all I was doing was just scouting.
Yeah.
So I heard those whistles. I heard those whistles, and there was whistle, whistle. I kept moving. Then whistle. Only now it wasn't
like
here.
In front of you?
Paralleling me. And so, because this one was initially behind me and this one was over here. So he whistled, she whistled, it whistled, they whistled. And then this whistle. And this whistle was almost parallel but a little in front of me. As I got up and I walked down, I guess about 150, 200 yards, this one is still in front of me. Whistle, but now this one's right beside me. I can't see it, but it whistled. And that was enough for me to decide to get out of the forest. So I headed down, got down into the meadow, got to the creek bed, and as I started working my way down the creek, because I knew at some point the creek would intersect the road and then I could walk back up to the truck and get my gear, I could see where in the creek, that creek was probably 2 foot wide, plus or minus, and not deep, but I could see that something, because the water was rippling in a pool, and something had hit that spot and crossed over. And I didn't stop. I was done guessing what was going on. I just headed back down, got to my truck, picked up my gear, and left. And initially, I just chalked it up to locals messing with my head. When I told my dad, he never said a word, and he just went, huh, well, I guess you're kind of lucky. And I told my mom, and she said, you weren't doing something you shouldn't have been doing, were you? No, Mom, I was not drinking while I was out there.
Hello, how are you? I need to get you on the schedule.
And then later on in life, 10 years later or so, I'm married and I was shared with my wife, da 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 da. And her dad was I was a big hunter. He was big time hunter. And I think she shared it with him. I did not. And he kind of ground me a little bit. Ah, so you saw Bigfoot, did you? Ah, you're out there in the Bigfoot country. And that's the first time I heard that assimilated to what happened to me. And then I started in retrospect going, well, I don't know enough about Bigfoot to know the difference anyway. But maybe, because whatever I saw across the road that initially caused me to stop was bigger than any of the bears could have been.
Do you know what color it was?
It was darkish brown. Like I said, I'm driving, and I just happened to glance up in the mirror, and it was boom, boom, gone. But, and I have tried with all my might when it was important to me. Did I see trot, trot? Did I see upright? What did I see? And I cannot tell you what I saw, other than it was something huge, brown, furry, very hairy. Not like a deer. You know, deer has very sleek, this had fur. And when it crossed the road, it was literally, I didn't see it cross, but one fleeting glimpse. But when I went back, there was mark here, just a smudge, and it was like launching? Pushing off. It was like it pushed off.
So like the front part of the foot was like...
Yes, there was, it was smudged, but it would be like push. And then it went from here to here. And this wasn't really so much a track, because the road was real dusty. And as dry as could be, and as hard as could be, but you could see a very distinctive,
like a heel,
a mark. Okay. I wouldn't say a front, I wouldn't say a back, because I can't tell you, but it was a very clear mark where it hit, and then it was gone. And just never had a need to tell anybody. Neither here nor there in today's world. But I've looked back on it and smiled a few times about, well, you sure got the bejeebers scared out of you, and you were too dumb to even be scared. I didn't get scared until the rocks. When the rocks came down at me, I took that as an attack. I tried to convince myself it was guys hunting just like me, trying to find game and throwing rocks down into the valley to see if anything would move. That's how I convinced myself. But then when I got up and it was whistle, 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 and they were paralleling me off the mountain, and it was like they had me hemmed in. And as long as I kept going down and away and leaving the area, getting out of the habitat, I was fine. But they were going to make damn sure I didn't veer left or right. They walked me off the mountain to the creek.
So did you think they were going to hurt you?
I never, well, when they threw the rocks at me, that scared the hell out of me. But at no point did they ever expose themselves, and which is why I thought it was local yokels playing with me. It was only afterwards when you put this and this
everything.
And this, well, that doesn't make good sense.
Was there like a weird smell that you noticed at all, like either where the tracks were or in the woods?
If there was, I don't recall. If there was, it wasn't enough to get my attention. It was just the oddities of it. The scuff in the dirt, the scream. If there was anything that really got to me, it was the scream. Literally made the hair on the back of my head stand up. I've heard mountain lions scream. I've heard, like I said, I've been in woods all my life. It was like no scream I'd ever heard. And my truly, truly initial thought was it was a woman in distress. It was one scream, one, and it was long and guttural. And then that was it. in the moment, I chalked every one of the incidents up to something logistical that my mind could wrap itself around. In retrospect, over time, when I sat down and pieced it all together, I didn't go back out there bear hunting. I had enough of that
area.
You're
too scared of it.
I just decided it was not a place I wanted to go again. Never have been back. And I could get you, I was about to say I could probably get you close to the area, but in retrospect, it was 50 years ago. I probably couldn't find anything to save my bacon. Outside a small town, huge, huge trees.
Remember what town it was called?
No. The creek is the only thing I remember. Bluff, one or the other. That's the only thing, and it was Forest Service roads. It wasn't paved road. It wasn't a road to somebody's house. It was road. It was just an old logging road. And I just went up into the mountains, and it was beautiful country. It should have been teeming with wildlife. I didn't see enough wildlife to warrant going back. And I just figured, right place, wrong time of year. And then later I figured, right place, but they'd all been scared off because I have a mountain lion at my house right now. I had a bear literally on my front porch two nights ago. And then my son sleeps in the guest room, or family room, which is a garage conversion, it has a door, and he leaves his door open. The bear literally stuck his head in Brandon's door. So when my deer aren't around, and I don't see my turkeys around, I know either the bear or the mountain lion is in the neighborhood. And you'll see them, and then all of a sudden they're gone. And 2 days ago I had 12 deer in my yard. So I knew that the bear and the mountain lion were gone. I know those noises, I know those sounds, and the scream was like none of those. And I just attributed the fact there was little game in the area at the time, is there was a larger predator that scared them off or had them late.
Do you still think it was like a woman, or do you think it was the Bigfoot-ish creature?
In retrospect, I'm going to say it sounded like a woman. It could have been a woman, but it was a very long scream.
Well, I've heard that they can mimic things really well.
I don't, in retrospect, no, it was not a woman. What was it? I don't know. Was it Bigfoot? I smile to myself and I think, ha, you had an encounter. But I don't run around. Like I say, you're the fourth person I sat down and talked to. So there's my story.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Can you tell me how big the like how the width of like the footprints?
You too.
The marks?
It was not clear enough to be definitive because it was a push. It wasn't a real print. It was a...
Lift off.
Yeah, so I couldn't tell you. And I didn't think to look that hard. I just went, okay, this is where I think. I said, oh, there's there. The thing that got my attention was in the there's there was the span from where this was to where this was. And I just chalked it up to, well, it was coming off the road, crossing the road, it launched. Okay, I'll justify the span because it launched.
Yeah. Interesting. Would you say that like now you would be like a Bigfoot believer?
Oh, I'm very much a believer now. Oh no, very much.
Is it because of that, or that's just a factor in belief?
That was the impetus for believing. That was the seed sprouting that said, dude, this is real. You don't always have to see something to know it's real.
Yeah.
And that was the impetus for me. I never had any desire to go back down there. I never had any desire to go chasing and running all over the country looking. But whenever I'm in the forest, regardless of where I'm in the forest, I'm a lot more cognizant of my surroundings.
So that's good.
And now when I go into the forest, I always have a weapon or two. Older and wiser. But the impetus of believing was that weekend. Yeah. That weekend, when it happened, I never sat down and took the time to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. Oh, that was funny. Oh, that was weird. Oh, that was... But then you're home and you're sitting around and you put all the pieces of the puzzle together. Now it wasn't a jumbled mess because I started at the corners and filled it all in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I went, okay, yeah, I can buy into that. I can believe that.
Yeah.
There you got it.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Well, that was interesting. If you don't think it was Bigfoot, what do you think it was? Or who do you think it was? Because all those factors combined is pretty interesting, if you ask me. I think I stopped the recording a little bit early. I wish I hadn't, because we talked a little bit more about some other things. But one of the things that he said after we stopped is, quote, "It controlled me. It dictated my movements." And I think that was really interesting because it's like something that smart, that intelligent. And he said he didn't feel threatened necessarily, but guided down. And that's just so interesting. That's so interesting. And he started recounting to me how he did softball. He has some issues physically right now that he can't do softball, but he'd been doing it basically his whole life. And he was saying how he knows for sure that they would have actually hit him and he would have died. If they wanted to hit him, they would have hit him. And that's terrifying to know that someone has that precision and skill to do that. Anyway, this is just some food for thought. Just to think, what is this? Who did this? If it isn't Bigfoot. And then who is Bigfoot? What is he? Is your opinion more of the evolutionary side? More of a physical manifestation of a spiritual reality? Or do you think he's somewhere on the Genesis 6 Nephilim spectrum? Something to think about. Anyway, peace out, people. Hope you enjoyed this interesting interview. Have a fantastic day.